Psalm 119, for those of you who weren't with us last week, the longest chapter in the Bible, 176 verses. It is laid out in an acrostic form, which means an alphabetical order according to the Hebrew alphabet, which has 22 letters. So there are 22 sections. Each section has 8 verses. Each verse begins with the relative letter to that acrostic. So it would be like the first 8 verses, would, if it was an English alphabet, would begin with the letter A. The second 8 verses would begin with the letter B. The third set of verses, 17 to 24, would begin with C. 25 to 32, D. So you get the idea. These are the ABCs of the Word of God. It is a psalm that is extolling the Word of God, that is lifting it up for all that it is. And I think when I look at denominational America and I look at how many have turned away from the teaching of the Scripture, how many have jerked language around to say, well, the Bible contains the Word of God, instead of saying the Bible is the Word of God. How many have turned away from the virgin birth, the death and resurrection of Christ, the finality of the work of Christ on the cross, and that it is the only way for the sin of men and women to be completely removed, for us to stand righteous before a holy God. And yet, the Word of God, able to give life, to strengthen, to change, to direct, to encourage. Verse 17 begins, and this is where we left off, saying, "Deal bountifully with thy servant, that I may live and keep thy word. Open thou mine eyes, that I might behold wondrous things out of thy law. I am a stranger in the earth. Hide not thy commandments from me. My soul breaketh for the longing that it hath to thy judgments at all times. Thou hast rebuked the proud that are cursed, which do err from thy commandments. Remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept thy testimonies. Princes also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. Thy testimonies also are my delight, and my counselors. My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. I have declared my ways, and thou heardest me. Teach me thy statutes. Make me to understand the way of thy precepts. So shall I talk of thy wondrous works. My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according to thy word. Remove from me the way of lying, and grant me thy law graciously. I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. I have stuck," I like that, "I have stuck unto thy testimonies. O Lord, put me not to shame. I will run the way of thy commandments. When thou shalt enlarge my heart, teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Incline my heart unto thy testimonies, and not unto covetousness. Turn away my eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in the way. Stablish thy word unto thy servant, who is devoted to thy fear. Turn away my reproach, which I fear, for thy judgments are good. And behold, I have longed after thy precepts. Quicken me in thy righteousness." So this set of verses again, 3 sets. The singer now saying, "Lord, I need you to give me life, to deal bountifully with me, that I might live according to your word. Lord, reveal wondrous things to me out of thy law, because I am a stranger in the earth. I'm a foreigner here, Lord. Hide not thy commandments from me. My soul breaketh for longing and hath unto thy judgments," crying out to God. And then he says, "Because there are those who are accusing. There are those who are slandering me, Lord. In the second set of verses, he says, in verse 25, my soul cleaveth to the dust. Quicken me according to thy word. In verse 28, he says, my soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen me, thou, according to thy word. And the last set, he says, Lord, incline my heart to your testimonies and not to covetousness. And then he says in verse 39, turn away my reproach, which I fear. So the psalmist crying out to the Lord. Again, out of the 176 verses, the word of God is referenced in 173 verses, and the Lord is made reference to in every one of the 176 verses. Hear the power of God's word. Lord, deal bountifully with me. We might as well go for the gusto. You know, say, Lord, be stingy with me. Who prays that way? Lord, be bountiful with me. I want everything you have. You know, like Peter says, that you might have an abundant entrance into the kingdom of God. Lord, deal bountifully with me. If all that you said to me in your word is true, and I'm your child, and you're my father, and you love me with an everlasting love, your mercies are new every morning, Lord, deal bountifully with me then, that I might live, Lord. I understand that the ebb and flow of life is not maintained by vitamins and juicers and, you know, physical exams. Lord, your word says that my next breath is in your hand. So deal bountifully with me, Lord, that I might live, and let me behold or reveal to me wondrous things out of your law. Lord, I need you to open all of this up to me. Remember the two disciples on the road to Emmaus when they came back, they said, did not our hearts burn within us as he talked to us in the way and as he opened to us the scripture? Lord, I need a good case of heartburn, not from what I'm going to eat for lunch, but from what I'm going to eat in church this morning, Lord. I need my heart to be warmed and filled, Lord. You give me life, and let me behold wondrous things, Lord, out of thy law, because I am a stranger in the earth. Look out if we're at home in this world. You know, I'm at home, to a degree. I'm even looking forward to getting out of there and getting to heaven. But if I'm at home somewhere, it's at home. And usually it's not because of the home. You know what it means to be a homeowner? It means to be chained to a job for the rest of your life. But home is home because that's where Kath is and that's where the kids are. And that's where the home is home because of those relationships. But in the earth, I'm a stranger. I don't know if you've ever had the experience of being in a foreign country alone. It's fun. And you know what it means to be a foreigner. You don't have a grasp of the language. You don't understand the custom exactly. You don't know where you're going. I remember the first time I went to the castle in Austria to do the pastor's conference, I missed my flight in New York, and I was late getting to the airport. It takes 2 hours to get there, left 4 hours early, and was still late. So then you go up to Lufthansa. You know how the Germans are. Take no offense. I'm a German, okay? So I really know how they are. I missed my flight. You know, and they're saying something to each other. Now, I didn't speak English till I was five because my grandparents lived in the house and spoke German. But it takes a while to come back. But I'm picking up dribs and drabs and I'm thinking, hey, I understand a little bit of this. What do you mean? Stupid American. So then they get me on a flight that goes everywhere in Frankfurt and then finally to Munich. And by the time I get there, of course, it's hours after my ride has left. And now I got to figure out my way to get to the castle on public transportation with a suitcase that weighs over 100 pounds that dear Pastor Jerry Paradise gave me, full of Bibles to smuggle into Russia, which I wonder if, you know. And I'm trying to call the place, and finally somebody comes up and says, the machine does not take quarters. You must go to the bank and exchange for marks. It doesn't take quarters. So then you walk to the bank with your suitcase and Jerry, you gave me the thing. You know, but you're just in a foreign, you know, you feel foreign. But you know what it's like to be amongst family and friends and be home and feel foreign. You know what it's like to live in the world we live in and feel foreign because of the morals and of the standards and of the ethics. and of the war and of the bigotry and of the tyranny and of the starvation. And to live every day saying, Lord, this is not right. It shouldn't be this way. Come, Lord Jesus. I'm spoiled for this world. There's something in me you've changed that can never rest here again. Deal bountifully with me, Lord, that I might live. Show me wondrous things, Lord, out of your word. So I'm a stranger here. And I'm dependent on you, Lord, to give me your commandments. My soul is breaking with a longing, Lord, that it has towards your judgments at all times. Lord, I know you've rebuked the proud that are cursed, which do err from your commandments. Remove from me, Lord, reproach and contempt, for I've kept your testimonies. Princes, those in authority, Lord, they also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. Now, how do we handle it when people are critical of us and they speak against us and they criticize us and they slander us? This psalmist says, Lord, there are those as princes have spoken against me. I want you to remove contempt from me. I want you to remove reproach from me. Those in authority have spoken against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. Now, is that the first thing you think when somebody gives you a hard time? Oh, this person just slandered me. I'm going to go read the Bible. No, I'm going to take the biggest Bible I have and, you know... It's a good rule, you know, when you get on your, every day before you read the Bible, get on your knees and say, Lord, show me wondrous things out of this book. Because I'm going to see a lot of things today that aren't so wondrous. And I may wonder sometime during the day why I don't slug this guy. So make me the kind of man, the kind of woman, Lord, instead of striking back, instead of lashing out, Lord, that I can sit instead and meditate on your word. Because, you know, I find, and you will find too, that if we decide to defend ourselves, God will let us. You know? And it ends up to be a mess, doesn't it? Too much of the time. I mean, look, I'm not talking about you're supposed to be, you know, a doormat. And I'm not talking about you're supposed to let somebody, you know, abuse you and beat you up. But for the cause of Christ... And if we are foreign, you know, you get around a foreigner, you can tell just by idiosyncrasy, sometimes even before they open their mouths. This guy's got sandals and white socks on. He's from Europe. He's not from here. I can tell that right now. You know, I mean, just idiosyncrasies, you can tell, you know, and people that are unsaved can tell around us pretty quickly that there's something different about us. And then once we open our mouth, it's supposed to be a dead giveaway. And we're going to take some heat because of that. And how are we going to handle that? Are we going to look in God's Word and meditate there and say, Lord, what should I do? A soft answer turns away wrath, Lord. But wrath turns away a soft answer, too. Help me to be on the right side of this equation, Lord. I'm looking to you for your strength and your direction. Let me meditate, Lord, in your testimonies. It's so wonderful, Lord, when you step in as my covering, my shield and my buckler, my strong tower. Thy testimonies, verse 24, also are my delight and my counselors. That's a great thing when the Word of God is our counselor. Counselors are important. Isaiah, it says, the Lord speaking to Isaiah says, you've gone to many counselors, but you haven't come to me. You know, you're surrounded your life with counselors. And sometimes we want the easy way out. We want someone to tell us. We want a human to do it for us. But there are places and there are times when God removes every counselor. Right? And again, look at David in the crucible, how he fled and he went to his home. And then the Lord removed his wife as Saul's army surrounded. And the Lord had removed the court, his employment. Then the Lord removed Samuel from him, his mentor. Then the Lord removed Jonathan from him. And the Lord so desperately wanted David alone that he stripped away every human stream, every human resource. And there are times when there is no counselor on this earth that is sufficient but this counselor. When it is the vertical that God is desiring to bring us to. Because there's something that can only be learned in that equation sometimes. And God uses people. But there are times, as this psalmist says, thy testimonies are my delight and my counselors. My soul cleaveth unto the dust, Lord. Quicken thou me. Now, verse 25 there where it says, quicken thou me, give me life, make me alive. That is the first of nine requests, nine prayers in Psalm 119 to be quickened. Nine times through this psalm, the psalmist is going to say, quicken me, Lord, according to your word. Your word gives me life. It makes me alive. My soul cleaveth to the dust. We're not sure whether this is a conviction of sin or he's just worn down. He's facing his own frailty. Quicken thou me according to thy word. The word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of thoughts and the intents of the heart. That the word of God, you know, divides down into us between that which is soulish and that which is spiritual, and separates them and shines light on it. Lets us see, no, this is carnal. This is divine. This is your flesh. This is my will. My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to your word. Give me life according to your word. Lord, verse 26, you should all know this by experience. I have declared my ways, and you heardest me. Of course, you don't say that to the Lord. You heardest me. Lord, I've been shooting off my mouth, and I know you've been listening. Okay? There's a paraphrase. Now I'm listening. Teach me thy statutes. Lord, I've declared my ways to you. You've been listening. You heard me in all of this. But now, Lord, I'm listening. Declare thy ways. So important for us to listen, to quiet ourselves and listen. So often, because of the pace of life, we run into the prayer room. Lord, give me this, give me that, give me this, give me that. I need this, I need that, I need that. I need to cover this and bless Aunt Jane. Goodbye. But there's a whole part of it that is getting there and getting quiet and getting still and pleading, oh Lord, you've heard everything I've had to say. Now, Lord, I need to hear you. Be gracious to me. Be bountiful to me. Show me wondrous things, Lord. I'm a stranger here. There are words of humans that are stuck in my back like daggers, like knives. My soul is cleaving to the dust. Give me life, Lord, according to your word. You've heard the things I've had to say. Lord, now I need to hear from you. Make me understand the way of thy precepts. So shall I talk of thy wondrous works. He had asked for them to be revealed. He said, Lord, if you make me understand, I will talk of thy wondrous works. My soul melteth for heaviness. The word means to drop down. And we've all experienced that. It can come in a multitude of different ways. Sometimes it's a call from the doctors. The tests have come back positive, and my soul melts. It drops. You can feel it. Your heart drop down into your stomach. A phone call in the middle of the night when someone in the family's sick, and you think, oh no. And before you can answer it, you already think the worst. And you pick it up. Hello, is Peppy there? 3 o'clock in the morning, it's the wrong number. You know. That happens to me all the time. I have the house for some reason. Anybody who breaks down within 3 miles walks to my house for some reason. I don't know why. But sometimes that news comes or something happens and our soul just drops. That's what it means for heaviness. It just falls down within us. Strengthen thou me according to thy word. How wonderful. And I think it's so necessary for us to look at this because, you know, as we move through this, the thing that we need to understand and always keep before us in regards to the word of God is it isn't just an intellectual exercise. I think that we should study to show ourselves approved. The Word of God says that about itself. I think that we should be scholars and that we should attempt to educate ourselves in regards to the Word of God and history and culture and language for the rest of our lives. The academic study of the Word of God, I think we should never cease. But if that's all we do, we have lost the most important part of the Word of God, and that is the vertical. We do a disservice to people when we simply make the Bible a textbook. I'm studying Isaiah 101 this year. I'll study Isaiah 102 next year. Oh, we're into the Deutero-Isaiah theory, trying to figure out who really wrote Isaiah, you know. You ever read Isaiah? No. Too much time trying to figure out who wrote it. And it's not just an academic exercise. It is life and its power. And it falls from heaven. And it's an incorruptible seed that gets into a human life and brings about change that could never be affected on the horizontal. And if we don't remember that and we don't lay our hearts and our lives before it, we are the less because of it. He who desires the office of a bishop, of an overseer, desires a good thing. Look at the requirements. Husband of one wife, house in order, kids ruled, not given the wine, not given the money, not in it for the wrong reasons, not a drunkard, sober, vigilant, self-controlled, apt, three words, apt to teach. And we build seminaries there, and we build Bible schools there, and God is saying to an individual, if you will give me your heart, if you will give me your life, if you will give me integrity and character, then you only have to be apt to teach. I can anoint that. You'll give me your life. People come in for counseling. I don't go there, you know. Calvary, they're Bible thumpers. They're Bible worshipers. You know, and you know, we got one side saying, oh, they do healing meetings there. They're in the holy laughter there. Well, I hope any laughter we do have is holy, but we're not into that other holy laughter. So we have one side accusing us of being far that way, and another side saying, oh, they grieve the Spirit. All they do is teach the Bible. And if you go there, they're just going to tell you to read the Bible. Wait a minute. My soul is cleaving to the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according to thy word. Deal bountifully with me that I might live according to thy word. Reveal wondrous things to me out of thy law. I'm a stranger, Lord, in the earth. Sustain me with your word. We should never, ever make an apology for the word of God if we understand the power of it, the vertical of it, not just the horizontal of it. My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according to thy word. Remove from me the way of lying and grant me thy law graciously. Isn't that an interesting verse? It doesn't say remove me from the way of lying. It says remove from me the way of lying. Not remove me from, but remove from me. Get that thing out of me, Lord. I don't lie. I fib once in a while. And I'd rather fib than fight sometimes, Lord. It's a little white lie. We have all kinds of ways to describe deceit. Remove from me, not remove me from, remove from me, Lord, the way of lying. Because I have chosen the way of truth, it says in the next verse. Thy judgments have I laid before thee. I've made a choice. Remove from me the way of lying. I have chosen the way of truth. That's my choice, Lord. I need you to uphold me in all of that. It's what I know is right. I have stuck unto thy testimonies. I like that word, stuck. O Lord, put me not to shame. I will run the way of thy commandments, notice, when thou shalt enlarge my heart, dependent upon the vertical. And we should be dependent upon the vertical. Look at these next verses, and they're some of my favorite verses in all of the Bible in regards to the Word of God. Because in verse 33, you hear thy. In verse 34, you hear thy. In verse 35, you hear thy. In verse 36, thy testimonies. In verse 37, you have, Lord, turn my eyes from beholding vanity, quicken me according to thy way. 38, thy servant. Thy fear, 39, thy judgments, 40, thy precepts, thy righteousness, all the way through, this is vertical and dependent upon God. In the Old Testament, there are over 2,600 times when the writers, and of course there's many of them, there are over 2,600 times when the writers, with their quill to the page, say that the words that they're writing are the words of Almighty God. Over 2,600 times in the Old Testament, the writers say that the words that they have written are the words of God, and over 500 times in the New Testament. That this is not just an academic study, but there is power in the Word of God. And that God stoops down to speak to us. He knows that we're strangers in this world. He knows that when He seals us by His Spirit, when He touches our lives, we're ruined for this world. He knows that when someone is backbiting us or giving us a hard time, our natural inclination is to respond one way, but there's a divine inspiration that's saying, Lord, let me meditate rather in Your testimonies instead of lashing back. Let not Satan have everything he wants to get out of this, Lord. And Lord, when my soul is cleaving to the very dust, when it is melting, when it's dropped down within me and things are too heavy for me, Lord, then give me life according to Your Word and strengthen me according to Your Word and remove from me, Lord, the way of lying. I have chosen the way of truth. And Lord, I will run this race according to Your precepts when You enlarge my heart. And then the cry heavenward, teach me, dependent on the Lord for this, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Give me understanding. It comes on the vertical. Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived, was raised by a shepherd. That's not where he learned everything from his dad. He said, Lord, give me wisdom to rule this people. Give me a hearing heart. And God, meaning the wisest man that ever lived, teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me to go. O Lord, don't let it up to me. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Notice, incline my heart to thy testimonies. Because it's inclined to something else, which is called covetousness. Incline my heart to thy testimonies and not to covetousness. That's our natural inclination. If I only had one of these. If I only had one of those. If I only didn't have one of these. If I could get rid of the two of these. If I had some of this and some of that and one of those. And if I only had him and if I only had her and... Incline my heart, Lord, to thy testimonies, not to covetousness. So, in relation to that, turn away my eyes from beholding vanity. Don't let covetousness rule my life. Don't let me set, Lord, my heart on 1,000 things that are passing away and that are in the process of passing away. Turn away my eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me. Give me life, Lord, in thy way. Turn away my eyes from vanity. Job 31, I've made a covenant with my eyes. Why should I look upon a maid? Psalm 101, verse 3, I'll put no evil thing before my eyes within my house. Turn away my eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in thy way. Establish thy word unto thy servant. It is vertically dependent. Establish thy word unto thy servant who is devoted to thy fear. Turn away my reproach, which I fear. So he, even in crying out to the Lord vertically, the two perils he sees here are covetousness and reproach. Turn away my reproach, which I fear, for thy judgments are good. Behold, I have longed after thy precepts, and again, quicken me, give me life in thy righteousness. Lord, deal bountifully with me. Here I am, that I might live. My next breath is in your hand. Life is so fragile. Let me behold, open my eyes, let me behold wondrous things, Lord, out of thy law. Because I'm a stranger here, Lord. I'm passing through. And my soul is breaking and longing for your word, for it to be real and alive, for it to keep me today. I need something from you, Lord. Have you been there? I'm cast down, Lord. I'm discouraged. I'm broken. I'm going to sit alone with your word now, Lord. I need something to come alive off the page, to rise up, to take hold of my broken heart, and to give me strength. How often have we experienced that? How often have we experienced that? Lord, there are those who are backstabbing, Lord, and my natural inclination is to lash back, but I have meditated on thy testimonies, Lord. And I've brought my life there, Lord. And when I defend myself, the enemy always has a field day. Lord, let me depend on you in this. I'm going to let your testimonies be my counselors. Lord, even when my soul is cleaving to the dust, quicken me with your word. I have declared my ways. You've listened, Lord. I've talked long enough. I'm listening now. Declare your statutes to me. Make me understand your precepts, Lord. My soul is melting with heaviness. Strengthen me according to your word, and remove the way of deceit from me. I've chosen the way of truth. I've stuck to your testimonies. I want to run this race the way of thy commandments, and I'll do it, Lord, when you enlarge my heart. An enlarged heart in the physical is a dangerous thing. An enlarged heart spiritually is what we all need. How does that happen? Complete dependence. Teach me, O Lord. A great thing to pray through every day. Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes. I shall keep it to the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me to go in the path, Lord. Even, you know, don't listen to me. It reminds me of that scene in Young Frankenstein where he gets put in a room with a monster. And he says, no matter what you hear, don't unlock the door. Don't let me out, you know, and then the first, let me out of here, stupid, open the door, you know, it just, you know, I look at this saying, Lord, make me go in the path of your commandments. If I scream and yell and spit, don't listen to me, Lord, just make me go there. David saying, take me by the hand and lead me in the way everlasting. Lord, if I kick and scream, don't listen to me. I remember one time being down at Philadelphia Airport and this mom's walking, dragging her little kid behind her. And he's about two and a half, and his feet are dragging. They're late for a plane, so she's just not waiting for him to walk. She's got him dragging him, and he's going, help! Help! Help me! Lord, make me to go in the path of your commandments, and don't listen if I scream. For therein do I delight. Incline my heart to your testimonies, not to covetousness. Turn away my eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken me in thy way. Establish thy word unto thy servant who is devoted to thy fear. Lord, turn away my reproach, which I fear. Thy judgments are good. Behold, I have longed after thy precepts. Quicken me in thy righteousness. We'll have the musicians come, and we'll end with a song.